Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing okay, but I know you're doing great. You know,
oh, yeah.
Your boys, we're going to get into that very, very shortly. You know, of course, ladies and gentlemen, you know, thank you for checking out this latest episode. And on today's show, you know, we're going to be talking about the Yankees as they're riding high. I mean, we're going to get it right into that. The dominance they had over, you know, their longtime rivals, the Boston Red Sox, by the final score of 8-0. We're going to dive right into that. Talk about the Mets trying to hold on to the rest of their season, but they had a great start by David Peterson, the rookie. We'll also talk about that as well. And of course, Steve Cohen agreed to terms with the Mets. We'll talk about what the last hurdle, you know, that will prevent the Cohen from buying the team. And we're not talking about the group that A-Rod and J-Lo is a part of. We'll get into that. We'll talk about the NBA as the Clippers choke their way into having a Staples Center, you know, finals, a whole basically Lakers Western Conference final. We'll get into that. Obviously, we'll talk about the playoffs with the Heat and Celtics, and of course the Lakers versus Nuggets. And, you know, end it off with a little, you know, sports entertainment as always, you know, WWE, AEW, and, you know, whatever is on our mind. But most importantly, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999. Wait, let me start over again. I'm sorry. 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to call in, let your voice be heard, talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let us start this show by talking about your boys, the New York Yankees.
Oh,
and of course, you guys are riding high, you
yep.
know,
yep,
and I know you, and of course the icing of the cake is that your guys beat up on the Red Sox.
Oh yeah, even sweeter.
Yeah, man. What's your thoughts on Hap's performance, throwing an 8th inning gem against the Bull Sox?
Well, he pitched very well tonight. He didn't allow a run, and I think he had, how many strikeouts did he have tonight?
He had nine
strikeouts. Yeah, he pitched very well tonight. As this Yankee team has been playing these last 10 games, you know, their bats have finally woken up. After that, you know, that stint there where they couldn't even hit a fly, you know, they were just, I mean, yeah, it's like the offense was just sleeping, you know, for several weeks there. But we got some guys back. We got Aaron Judge and Stanton back, and, you know, LeMahieu, my cousin, he's been raking the ball. You know, this dude, and you guys thought I was crazy when I said that he's a better hitter than Jeter. You know, I mean, the guy leads the AL in batting average, on-base percentage, and OPS. I mean, that's staggering. You know, the guy could flat out hit the wall. You know, and without him at the top of the offense, I don't know where we are. Him and Voit. Voit has probably been our MVP of this season. You know, he currently leads the league in home runs, I think, with 20. And, yeah, without him, man, you know, I don't know where we would be, you know. Probably be on the edge of making the playoffs. But right now we're sitting pretty in second place in the East. We're still, I think, two games or so behind the Rays for first place.
Three and a half.
But I don't know if we'll catch up to them because there's only, what, 9 games left or you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So not sure if we'll catch them, but, you know, right now if the playoffs started, we would be the fourth seed going against the Twins, who we always beat in the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I'm glad, man. I'm glad these guys have finally woke up and they're playing well again, just like when they start 16-6 at the beginning of the season. And we're heading into the playoffs hot. You know, that's the way to do it. And I hope this can continue, you know, as we reach the playoffs. And the pitching has been decent. Still think the bullpen's a little bit shaky at times. But, you know, hopefully they put it together. But the Yankees looking good right now, man. I don't know if they can lose another game. I don't know if they will.
Yeah, the way how they're playing, man. They're undefeated, 10-0. And, yeah, they're right in striking distance, only 3.5 behind the Rays. So,
yeah.
The Yankees are in a very, very good spot. I mean, only the Rays, you could say, you know, is doing better than them right now. But
well, Rays have been looks like they've been sliding a little bit. It looks like they've been some struggles there with the Rays,
yeah.
But during this 10-game win streak, the Yankees have outscored their opponents 85-25. So the offense has been really turning it on. And against the Red Sox, I mean, I know Red Sox are bad this year, and they're most likely tanking it. But since last year, the Yankees are 23-5 against the Red Sox. I mean, they've been dominating them, you know, these last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So they have their number. Red Sox are turning into the old Red Sox. You know,
pre-2004.
Yeah, exactly.
Pre game three of the 2004 ALCS.
Yeah. So, their number.
Yeah, in the last 10 games, they've won half their games, and that. But then again, they're way out of it. They're 19-34. So, they're playing golf.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, you know, trying to compete, you know, in this crazy playoff. And you know, that's what's crazy. Like, you know, the Mets are in the same predicament as well. You know, you have to be a really bad team not to make it in this playoff atmosphere right now. Like seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, like the Mets, I think, what are they, like they're 5 games under 500. You know, they're 6 back in the division, and I think they're like about a game and a half in the wild card. But yeah, what can you say? And if you can't make the playoffs in this, in my opinion, a horrible playoff setup, you know, where theoretically a sub 500 team could possibly, you know, be a wild card team, you know, at this point.
Possibly. Yeah.
So, Mets, they gotta suck it up. They gotta win like what, 7 of 9, in order for them to even think of possibly making to the playoffs as a 500 team.
That's saying a lot from the Mets.
Yeah, it is saying a lot for the Mets because they don't have no starting pitching. Other than DeGrom, you know, they don't really have and Peterson, who threw a gem, you know, the rookie. I think he's 5-2. He pitched 6 innings, a lot of 1 run. I think it was a home run to Duval. And, he dominated. I mean, he's probably have a handful of horrible starts this year. But, I mean, this kid, you know, he's lived up to the hype. I mean, he's been really good, you know. Lugo, I mean, he's still adjusting to being a starter. Porcello, I mean, as great as he was with the Red Sox, I mean, prior to last year and the Tigers, he hasn't been that reliable. Walker, I mean, he did come out of the bullpen a few days ago and pitched well in that DeGrom start, where DeGrom he injured his hamstring and he had to leave the game. And you know, DeGrom only pitched two innings, allowed three runs, and his league leading ERA, which was I think it was like 1.67, it ballooned to like probably 208 or something like that. But obviously 208 is an extremely wonderful, you know,
it's a good
ERA.
Yeah,
it's a great
good
ERA. But you know, DeGrom, he's in the bout to try to win his third consecutive Cy Young Award, and he's battling against Yu Darvish and I'm trying to think, Trevor Bauer and Max Fried and all these other great, you know, great pitchers. So, you know, he has a, even though he's the best pitcher in the game, but you know, because of this hamstring, his last two starts hasn't been great. I mean, the start prior to that, he went only five innings. He struck out nine, which, you know, obviously you would sign up for that for any pitcher, much less an ace. But because of his hamstring, which he didn't admit, you know, that caused him to have two subpar starts. I mean, you know what I mean? Because the game he won in his second to last start, he only went five innings because one of the innings the Mets literally batted like over a half an hour, almost to an hour. They were just scoring on the Blue Jays when they scored 18 runs that game, and that was the biggest output he had in years. I think there's only been maybe two other times that they actually scored like that for him in his career. Mm-hmm. But it's been a long time coming. And if my memory serves me right, that was his 70th win of his career, I think, if my memory serves me right. But in any case, yeah, the Mets, they need to get their act together, you know, especially starting rotation-wise. Dom Smith, man, he's been the MVP of the Mets. Jimenez, he's been great as a rookie as well. And, of course, Peterson. But the starting rotation has been horrible. I mean, you can't really trust Waka. Can't trust Porcello. Mats, he had a spot start yesterday. And I think he's still giving up home runs as we speak. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you know, Mats, he's been a very good pitcher these last 2 years. You know, finally starting to be healthy, but this year he took a huge step back. So it's gonna be really interesting what Mets are gonna do in the off season. You know, but the biggest news that matters in the off season is whether or not, if expected by November, the owners are going to meet. 29 other owners are going to meet, and basically 23 out of the 29 has to approve Cohen to be the next Met owner. If not, then the Mets will have to go back to the drawing board to try to get their new owner, which, you know, A-Rod and J-Lo proclaims that if Cohen doesn't go through, they're going to match the offer. But what's your thoughts so far that Steve Cohen agreed to a deal with the Mets, which reportedly it's $2.4 billion, and the Wilpons will have a 5% ownership with the team. But the most important thing is that if 23 of the 29 owners approve, Cohen will be the next owner of the Mets. So what's your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, it's looking like, you know, he'll be the next owner of the Mets, you know. Looks like he's going to get most of the votes, you know, from the owners. So, you know, I don't see it falling through. And I don't think right now it doesn't look like J-Rod has a chance. So I don't know why they even want to consider fighting it, you know. But I think it's good for the Mets. You have a guy who's rich and he's willing to spend money on the team. And, you know, maybe, you know, that could propel the Mets, you know, to becoming something to talk about in this town again, you know?
For real.
Instead of the second-class citizen to the Yankees.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I know a lot of Mets fans wanted this. They wanted Cohen in the first place because he has the money and he's willing to spend it on the team, unlike the Wilpons who, you know, haven't done much, mm-hmm. you know, financially for their organization, mainly because of that that Madoff scandal. So I think it's good. You know, I think it's good, and it's going to happen. And, yeah, I mean, all I could say is congrats. Congrats to the Mets organization and the Mets fans.
Well, I hope
even though
you're
it's
right.
Not, even though it's not official as of yet, but, you know, again, it looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not set in stone. To be honest with you, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I'm hearing rumors that it's going to happen.
Wait. You don't think it's going to happen?
I don't think it. Like I said this last week.
Aren't you the one that wanted Cohen as the owner?
I want him to be the owner. But
yeah.
for only seven owners to veto it, you know, like my point last week, it's not in their. It wouldn't be in their best interest to have another big market team, you know, wheeling and dealing. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, let me put you on the spot.
Uh-huh.
If you were the owner of the Yankees,
yeah.
and you were the deciding vote. To decide if Cohen goes through as the Met owner or not, would you say yes, or would you say yes or no?
Me, I would. I don't care what the Mets want to do. I mean, I'd say yes if they want to go ahead and get on. Yeah, how does that affect the Yankees? I mean, we have our own money. Why are we going to be concerned with what the Mets are doing?
Well, that's good. I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case because in my heart of hearts, I don't see. The National League East agreeing to him coming and having the Mets finally come to prominence like the 80s, you know, I just don't see it.
What if it does happen?
Then I'll be pleasantly
be
surprised. Yeah, I'll be pleasantly surprised because
mm-hmm.
there's a bunch of teams. You know, there's such a bias against New York teams. I mean, obviously, you should know you're a Yankee. You're a Yankee fan. I mean, a bunch of
yeah.
people have love and hate relationship with the Yankees all over the world.
Well,
so,
yeah.
you know, obviously, people don't want to see New York teams do well. Obviously, when a New York team does well, it's profitable for the league. You know, it's kind of like wrestling or boxing. You know,
yeah.
people will pay money to see the bad guy lose. You know. In that regards, you'll pay to support your team, but there's also people who will watch the sport or attend the games, obviously pre-COVID, to watch, you know, the empire go down. You
right.
know what I mean? So, as a you know a team, especially a small market team, a team in their division like the Marlins, I mean, I just don't see them. I just don't see them, you know, agreeing to allow another team potentially become a powerhouse and prevent them from buying big free agents. Not that Cohen is going to just splurge money, but he'll spend the money wisely, which is all you can ask for as an owner,
yeah.
as a fan of, you know, of a team.
Yep. Yeah,
so
we'll have to see, you know.
I hope you're right, man. I really hope you're right. I'm hoping that it will go through. Cohen will get passed. But Like we've been saying on this show for 11 years, practically every week, especially when it's in my best interest as a fan, we'll believe it when we see it, you know? So,
yeah.
And another thing, believe it when you see it is, you know, the NBA, the NBA playoffs, obviously, the Lakers are playing the Nuggets, you know, in the playoffs. They were something that's foreign to my team because they can't get their way out of, you know, out of that ownership. But that's another story for another time. But I guess it is another story for another time once we find out if Kung will finally go through. But back to the NBA, you know, I'm losing my thought. The Lakers are facing the Nuggets, and why are they facing the? And of course, the other playoffs is Celtics versus Heat. But yeah, the big news that went down is that two top teams, you know, went out. The Bucks, you know, arguably the best team in the league, and then you had the Clippers who had a 3-1 lead against the Nuggets, and they blew it. But let's talk about the Clippers, man. Like, and you know what's the sad thing about it? You know, this is like the third 3-1 lead in Doc Rivers' career as a head coach that he blew.
Yep.
And he's blown 6-3-2 advantages in his career as a head coach. Obviously, he's a very good head coach, but you know,
that's not good.
The players, it's not a good look. You know, obviously he won the title, you know, with the Celtics, which we spoke about last week. Anything's possible. 2 weeks in a row, we're talking about this. Kevin Garnett better come on this show because we're promoting him like 2 weeks in a row here. But in any case, you know, Doc Rivers, you know, the former Knick player, you know, he's had a great career, you know, basically as a player and as a coach. But yeah, this is a bad look for him, man. And he's running the team too. And ironically, you know, the culture of the Clippers have changed. You know, once they got rid of Donald Sterling, and then they hired the richest owner in sports in Steve Ballmer, which, you know, obviously they changed the whole, up into this playoffs, you know, they changed the whole dynamic of the Clippers. But unfortunately, this 3-1, blowing this 3-1 deficit makes it look like it's same old Clippers now, you know. And as a result, the Lakers are facing the Nuggets. What's your thoughts about this whole playoffs? And now, you know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, he's going to be playing golf, you know, with the Knicks players now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought out of all the four teams that were left, the eight teams, I should have said, I thought out of all the eight teams that were left in the conference semifinals, I thought the Clippers were the most talented and deepest team. You know, they had a solid starting five, good bench, and I thought for sure if they had gone to the conference finals, they were going to beat the Lakers. I thought they were better defensively, and just a deeper team than the Lakers. But they choked that series away. They go up 3-1 and then lose, you know, three games to the Nuggets. I mean, they choke, flat out choke, and Doc Rivers should be held responsible for that. You know, because this is a third series in his career that he's blown a 3-1 lead. Second one with the Clippers, you know. They blew one in 2015 also to Houston. So, you know, it's not a good look. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up, you know, dismissing him. You
well,
know,
I heard
probably going out than getting someone like Jeff Van Gundy or Mark Jackson or Tyronn Lue, you know?
Yeah, I heard that they're keeping him.
Yeah, well, you never know, you know. Keep him today, fire him tomorrow. So
never know.
But yeah, I mean they choked that series away, man. And they were probably the most talented team in the playoffs, I thought. So now they have to wait till next year, and you know some of these guys might not even be on the team anymore. You know, because I'm hearing rumors that some of these guys might be traded, you know, or possibly they might try to go after Giannis in the offseason.
Maybe in the year after this one.
Yeah. Well, is it not Giannis a free agent this year?
I think it's next year. But I was going to talk about him too. You know, they lost as well. They got knocked out of the playoffs.
Oh yeah.
And he's, you know, obviously, you know, there's been rumors that Giannis is coming to the Knicks. Oh my goodness, he's coming to the Knicks to save the Knicks franchise. Like they were saying about Durant and LeBron and all these other guys, you know. But as expected, you know, he made a speech after they got eliminated, and he basically was saying like, you know, he wants to try to win in Milwaukee. So it is what it is. And there's even rumors that they might try to get Chris Paul. They might try to trade for Chris Paul so he could, you know, pair him up, you know, and try to, you know, go deep in the playoffs.
Interesting.
Yeah, that would be an interesting thing. I mean, obviously Chris Paul has been rumored to be going to the Knicks for many years now. But, I think it's more realistic that he get traded to the Bucks because they're a win now team. You know, obviously, Paul, he's trying to win a championship, and you know, you're going to be playing with the MVP, you know, of the league, which is what basically most of these players, 98 of these players do anyway. They just form a super team and, you know, try to win the title instead of trying to defeat the super team. You know,
yeah.
But you know, we'll see what happened with that. But yeah, I don't know if you heard, but like LeBron, you know, he gave his honest thoughts about him finishing second to Giannis, and it was by a landslide, you know, which he wasn't happy about. You know, he felt like the voting should have been a lot more, you know, closer, and, you know, there's, you know, inconsistency with the voting. Sometimes they give the MVP to the person who has the best performance on a team, whether it's a losing team or a winning team, or sometimes, you know, they reward person for having the best record. You know, there's no consistency with their record. You know, he just was, you know, PO'd that, you know, that his, you know, his, he, you know, that he finished second by a landslide. He felt like he should have got more votes, you know, but
yeah, maybe he should have. I mean, he's having his, you know, one of his best seasons ever,
mm-hmm.
Especially in his assist total.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's a popularity contest for the most part. But I mean, no discredit to Giannis. I mean, Giannis, you know, he's a great player. And he had a great season. And I think he did deserve the MVP ahead of James. Maybe not as, you know,
lopsided.
Yeah, lopsided as it was. But, you know, it probably should have been closer. But Giannis definitely deserved it to be this year's MVP. No question.
Yeah. I think that was basically LeBron's point. You know, like he knows Giannis had a great, great season, obviously, but he just felt that the folding should have been more closer instead of a blowout.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron shouldn't even be concerned about that, you know.
Oh yeah, like, as a matter of fact, after he went on his expressing himself, he, I guess some people would think he was backtracking, but you know, he pretty much clarified what his point was, that you know, he's not taking anything away from Giannis and that he's good. You know, he just won game one of the you know, the whatchamacallit, the Western Conference final. You know, so he, you know, he's good. You know, he's just gonna try to, you know, win the series, you know, against the Nuggets. And they won game one, 126-114. LeBron, you know, he scored 15 points, had 12 assists, six rebounds. But yeah, man, AD, man, he did his thing. You know, he had 37 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists. You know, so they're gonna need, you know, they're gonna need, you know, pretty much that performance, you know, to beat these Nuggets who upset the you know, the Clippers.
Yeah, it's the Nuggets are a gritty team. You know, mm-hmm. Murray, Jokic, they've been playing very well. They're gonna be a tough out for the Lakers, I think.
Oh yeah,
you know. So I think it's gonna be a very competitive series. The Celtics in the Eastern Conference, they just won Game 3 against the Miami Heat. So now the series 2-1 in Miami's favor.
Exactly.
I still got my money on Celtics.
You know, yeah, me too. Unfortunately,
I think the Celtics are better team offensively and defensively. So I picked them to win in 7 games, and I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, I definitely don't disagree with that. You know, I think I might have said this last week. I'm not sure, but yeah, I think we're gonna have another Lakers-Celtics NBA Finals, and I'm not gonna be happy about it. But
yeah,
it is what it is.
Might happen. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I do feel cheated that, you know, it'd been nice to see a Clippers-Lakers Western Conference Finals, see how that would have went, but.
Yeah, that's what everyone wanted.
But it is, you know, it is what it is. And another selfish reason is, you know, I like to see teams win their first championship, you know, except obviously not on the Knicks, my team's expense, you know. So I never had, you know, with my teams, it rarely happens, you know. With the Mets have never lost to a team for their first ever championship. The Jets, obviously, they didn't, because they only beat the Colts in the Super Bowl III. But, you know, unfortunately, the Knicks, in most recent history, you know, they lost to the Rockets in 94 for their first ever title, first of back-to-back. And then, of course, 99, they lost to the Spurs, which started their modern-day dynasty, you know. So, I mean, it, you know, I on a selfish level, I don't want to see a team. I want to see a team win their first title, but not at my team expense. So it would have been nice to see them, you know, win it, but not against my team, which obviously, being a Knicks fan, you don't have to worry about, that problem anymore. But
yeah.
Somewhere down the line, whenever the Knicks, somewhere, you know, basically, if Rose can turn this team around, and, you know, and obviously Thibodeau coaching, and then they could draft well and, you know, get, you know, turn the franchise and the culture around and try to attract, you know, some free agents somewhere down the line, maybe in, I don't know, 5 years or so, by 5 years or so. But realistically, they got to focus within and draft well, you know, to complement Barrett and Robinson, and if they're gonna make trades, you know, make trades that improve the team, you know, in the short and long term. So they gotta be smart about it. You know, they can't try to swing for the fences and get a star guy, mortgage the future, and basically set them back. You know what I mean? It's gotta be a smart move. You know, I wouldn't be opposed to, I mean, in the past, I've kind of wavered on the Paul trade, but if, I mean, they just have him for 2 years. He had a good season. Obviously these type of moves never work for the Knicks anyway, but if they don't give up Barrett or Robinson, and they give up, I don't know, some fringe players, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to it because, I mean, the Knicks are not going to track anybody in free agency anyway. So, you know, after this season, this upcoming season would just be one more year, you know, and if Paul still has it, you know, it wouldn't be that bad of a deal, you know, but that's just my opinion. But it depends on who you give up. I wouldn't give up Barrett and or Robinson. If you give up like a fringe type of player, especially a person on their walk year to like make the contracts even out a bit, because this dude is making like, I think, $41 million a year, which obviously is a big no-no, but, you know, let's see what Rose can do.
Yeah, let's see what he can do. I mean, I don't want to get guys who are pretty much at the end of their career.
Oh, yeah. You know?
They ruin the chemistry with these young players. I want to see these young players continue to develop, you know. Then maybe we can go after Giannis, you know, after next year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't want to get Chris Paul or Paul George, you know. I'm not interested in those guys.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. Because they got to be smart about this. You know, they can't just go after a aging player and expect them to be, you know, himself in the prime.
Yeah.
But they got to make sure that if they're doing this, they're not mortgaging the future. If they could pull off a Paul trade without giving up, you know, their, you know, the aforementioned star players, you know what I mean? And they have a future Hall of Fame guy who can mentor them, you know, and basically, you know, try to, you know, get them that winning mentality, you know, of trying to, you know, try to improve the team, change the culture of the team, then I'm for it. But if you're mortgaging the future, like, you know, like what they did with Melo, you know, many years ago, no offense to Melo, because, I mean, obviously he's a Hall of Fame player, but they overspent the prospects for him because Melo was willing to come. Melo was one of the few star players that was willing to come to the Knicks. So
they
should have been a little bit more patient, you know, with not overselling. But, you know, fortunately, Dolan, from all attempts, he's mellowed out. He hasn't been meddling in the front office and stuff like that with the stuff like he's done. You know, he's been, you know, laying off and letting the baseball executives do their job, much like he's done with the Rangers. Even though the Rangers, you know, they didn't do well. You know, they got knocked out in the playoffs. But he's let the Rangers, you know, do their thing, and they've improved. And then they got the number one pick, you know, after they got ousted out of the playoffs. So who knows what could happen?
Yeah, anything could happen.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. And then recently the Islanders they got knocked out of the playoffs too, even though they had a very good season. They had a great season. You know, they were at the cusp of, you know, trying to challenge to win their first championship, and their first championship since what, 1983, when they won four straight from like 80 to 83. So, you know, the Islanders, they have a bright future as well. You know, the team in New York, the hockey teams there, you know, they're poised to make, you know, make some noise.
Yeah, some promise, you know, mm-hmm. for the upcoming future for these teams.
Yeah. But on the football side, man, it wasn't looking good, you know, for, you know, our teams, especially the Jets, man. I mean, my goodness, that was a horrible game.
And they still almost, they had a chance too, you know, to win that game.
Statistically, they kind of came a little close, but
Yeah.
And the Bills, man, they just dominated them.
Yeah, in that first half, it was all Bills in the beginning. I don't understand what's going on with the Jet offense and with Gase. The reason they got Le'Veon Bell because of his talent. Yeah, he could run. He could catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, he's very versatile. And for some reason, I don't know why they don't want to use his talent more, but I mean, this guy has to be utilized more than he's being used right now. I mean, unfortunately, he's injured right now, you know, so he's not going to be playing tomorrow. Frank Gore is going to be taking his place. And Frank Gore is, you know, he's been around forever. Yeah. So, hopefully they can use Frank Gore tomorrow a little bit more in that game against who you guys play? The 49ers, I think, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so... Darnold didn't have a good game. He had an interception. I think he was 21 out of 35, something like that. Misfiring a bit. I really like Crowder, the receiver, Jameson Crowder. He's going to be a very good receiver for you guys. But it looks like he's injured tomorrow also. So you guys are going to have to focus more on, get Christopher Herndon involved in the receiving game some more. But I don't know why they didn't keep Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, no, man.
I thought he was I thought he was a good wide receiver. Was he great? No, but he was good. I think the Jets should have kept him.
They should have. No doubt about it. Last couple of years, he's been showing promise, but they let him go.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't keep him, but the offense for the Jets, it's erratic. They need to get that figured out. And also the defense, man. The defense can't give up big plays like what they're giving up to Josh Allen and our receiving core. They have to do better.
Yeah, man, it goes without saying, man. This season, like, there's only one game that happened. It looks like we're in week 10 or something. Like,
well, both New York teams. I mean, the Giants. No. They also look bad too. I mean, the Giants. They lost to the Steelers Monday night, and Saquon only had four carries on. I'm sorry, 15 carries, 6 yards. 15 carries, 6 yards. Think about that. You carry the ball 50 times, you only get 6 yards. That's either Saquon not running effectively, or that's either bad offensive line. And the offensive line has sucked for the last couple of years now, and they still suck, it looks like. So that's not, if you can't rush the ball, you're not going to win the game, period. So they need to improve that and get him some holes to run through. Or I don't know. And also, throw the ball more. I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, Daniel Jones did throw it 41 times, but it just seemed like he was ineffective at times. Two interceptions. I mean, since Odell Beckham left, I mean, I don't know who on the receiving core you can trust. I mean, Slayton, I mean, I guess he's okay. Shepard is inconsistent. I don't know, man. Giants have a lot of things that they need to figure out. Defense is up and down as well. They need to get their acts together. But, yeah, I mean, both the Jets and the Giants are in the same boat. On offense and defense, they need to improve. Or these teams, they're going to have losing seasons again.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, no doubt about that, man. Both teams definitely need to get their act together.
It's real.
It's already a long season.
And the scores are almost the same. The Giants lost 26-16. Jets lost 27-17.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, out of these two teams, which team do you think has more promise going forward, Giants or Jets?
Man. I think I have more confidence in the Giants, to be honest with you. Because it looks like Joe Judge, he looks like he has at least a game plan. This guy Gase, man, he's just brutal. Like he's Mickey Callaway. He's a Mickey Callaway for NFL coaches. I mean, I don't know what he's gazing at, man. It ain't good. It ain't good football.
Yeah, I agree. Gase, his play calling, you know, he's got to change that. It's, you know, it's week one, so no panic yet. But you know,
no, I'm talking about overall.
No, but I'm saying,
but
so
yeah,
far,
it is week one.
Year,
yes.
Yeah,
this in year, fairness, yeah. It is week one.
Yeah, it's week one, so we'll, you know, give him some time, you know, with this team to see what he does for the rest of the year. But if his play calling is like what it was in game one, then it's going to be a very tough season.
Yeah, I would say his tenure with the Jets would be the anti-super fragilistic Israelidosis. Because his play calling is quite atrocious. But let's see. We'll see what happens this upcoming year.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, one more note. The Islanders, you know, they were eliminated by the Tampa Bay Lightning in game six. And as a result, the Lightning, they just lost game one of the Stanley Cup to the Dallas Stars. I think the final score is 4-1. So, you know, basically, you know, the Lightning, you know, they gotta try to win, you know, these four games to try to win the cup. But yeah, moving on to WWE, and I don't know about you, but the only two interesting things on Raw is, okay, I'm gonna let you guess what it is. The first one I think is obvious. Which one do you think is the two best things, in my opinion, on Raw?
On Raw?
Yeah.
Wow. Two best things on Raw. I'm trying to think about what's the two best things. I guess R-Truth.
Oh yeah. R-Truth, yes. Yeah, R-Truth, yeah, that's one. Okay, three. I forgot about R-Truth. Yeah, R-Truth is definitely in there. He might be number two.
Street Profits.
The Street Profit is good too. You know, I forgot about them. So they're four. So there's four good things about Raw, in my opinion.
What else could be good? I mean, the Raw's kind of been flat, you know.
I know.
I hope you're not going to say that Underground, because the Underground it's been disappointing sometimes.
Yeah, it's been a little underwhelming, except one exception. The only time like it's really really good is the number one reason.
When you have a top superstar in there.
Well, yeah.
Because that Bray Wyatt thing was like, that was not interesting to me. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, of course, we knew what was going to happen. But to me, the best thing,
Braun Strowman, I should say.
Yeah, I was thinking of Braun Strowman. When you said Bray Wyatt, I was thinking of Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
But, yeah, easily the best, to me, in my opinion, the best thing. I mean, obviously, other than R-Truth is always great. I mean, that goes without saying.
Yes.
I mean, this dude makes Brock Lesnar a break character. with an unscripted promo and made Brock Lesnar laugh, because apparently Paul Heyman wanted to rib Brock Lesnar, and he basically made him go off script just told him to make him laugh. That's basically what he did, and he made Brock Lesnar laugh to the point that Brock Lesnar broke character on live TV, which was refreshing, and then backstage You know, Brock Lesnar said he wants to do business with him in the future. So,
oh wow.
So right there, I mean, R-Truth, man. R-Truth is the man.
Yeah.
But to me, I mean, other than R-Truth, because R-Truth always brings it. To me, the most interesting, what you said?
He's entertaining, no doubt.
Oh yeah. To me, the only thing that's interesting in Raw for the past, I'd say maybe a month or so, is the Hurt Business.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
That when they come to Raw Underground, Raw Underground is booming. Like they literally carry the whole show. It's not Drew McIntyre versus, you know, Randy Orton, which, I mean, I'm already tired with that storyline. And don't even get me started. Do not even get me started with the Seth Rollins versus Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio storyline. This storyline never ends. Like, and you want me to tell you what? It's gonna get even worse.
Do you know why?
Because WWE's logic, man. I'm gonna hit you with WWE logic. What happened last week on Raw?
Well, they beat Buddy Murphy with the sticks.
Yeah, that was entertaining. Did you see what happened in the end after you know, Seth Rollins won?
What happened again? I can't even remember.
Seth Rollins won. What did Seth Rollins do after he came out of the ring, the cage?
I can't even remember, man.
You don't even remember? He beat up Buddy Murphy.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
But that's not the bad part. Did you know also happened afterwards?
What happened after Resent? I be forgetting what happened on Raw.
I know. That's Raw-itis. You don't. Nobody remembers what happened after Raw. Not even the writers. Because 1 week, literally, the past week, the show ended with basically all the Mysterio family beating Murphy up with the kendo sticks, which was entertaining, I'll admit that. Barbaric, yes, but entertaining. But what happened, everybody in the Mysterio family was consoling Dominic. But what happened? Aaliyah Mysterio is consoling Buddy Murphy on the ground before she goes and tends to her brother. Like, what the heck was that all about? They're teasing.
Wait, what was this?
This was on Raw. They're teasing.
This past week?
Yes, this past week.
Oh,
they're teasing.
I've never seen that.
Yes, man. They're teasing that they're going to have a relationship. Because this is the same woman with her family beating up the guy who blinded her father and torturing her brother for Lord knows how many months. And she's catering to see if he's okay. Like, what in the WWE logic is going on here? Like, what is going on?
Well, Murphy's about to turn on Rollins. So, you know, he's not going to be on Rollins' side anymore.
He literally was beating up her brother moments ago. That would be like Ray falling in love with Ben, with Kylo Ren, after he killed her father figure, which actually happens to be his biological father, Han Solo, in front of her, and still kisses him at the end of the trilogy. That's the same logic. Like, I mean, hello, were they watching the end of Raw? How are you going to flip the script? Like, if they wanted to pull off this forbidden love, Romeo and Juliet storyline, then they shouldn't have made her beat up on Buddy Murphy. Had they not done that, then I could have said, okay, somehow she fell in love with him. You know, I would be able to somewhat buy it. I'd be like, okay, a stretch, but maybe. But they literally ended the show with them all attacking each other, and then the next time they show them interact, she's tending to him to see if he's okay. Like, after he helped beat up her brother.
Yeah, so there's gonna be some relationship, it looks like.
This is insane.
That's,
It doesn't even make sense. Not even in a storyline, in a scripted storyline, this makes sense. Come on, WWE.
That's crazy.
Get your act together, man. The show last Raw literally ended with all of them, including Aaliyah, beating up her quote-unquote future boyfriend. Like, what is this about? Like, what happened? Did I miss an episode? I know Raw is like 3 hours long, and it seems like 10 hours long when you're watching it. But it's like, and I think, to be honest with you, I think I might have fell asleep watching Raw a little bit. But I saw that part. I saw that part. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, come on.
Yeah, you know, the writers have been all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Where's the consistency? And when is, I don't even know what the end game is. Like, when is this rivalry going to end? Like, it's been going on
forever.
I didn't have a problem. It should have ended after Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Like, with Dominik fighting him, whether Dominik won or lost.
You mean SummerSlam,
that's
right?
It. I mean, SummerSlam. What did I say? Survivor Series?
Yeah.
Sure. At this rate, Survivor Series is still going to be going on. I'm talking about SummerSlam. I was talking about SummerSlam, but maybe in my mind, I'm like, this is still going to go on to Survivor Series. The whole Mysterio family are going to team up in a traditional Survivor Series versus Buddy Murphy, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, and I don't know, a lady that's going to join the discipleship, whatever Seth Rollins is calling his group. I can't even think who it could be. Oh, Aaliyah. Maybe it could be Aaliyah, for all you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. This is like one of the dumbest storylines ever. It's not bad as Bobby Lashley and his sisters, but they really need to fix that storyline.
Yeah, it just ended already.
Ended. That's exactly. They don't need to fix it. Just end it.
For real.
Jeez. We still don't even know who the person who's videotaping everybody and secretly watching them. Remember they were teasing that like.
Oh yeah.
For so many months, and they
Why
never teased
that?
It. I don't know. Like supposedly it was going to be Mustafa Ali, and then they made him debut with Cedric Alexander, who's now with the Hurt Business, and Ricochet, you know. But I mean, that storyline is dead. And then on SmackDown, they have this mystery woman who looks like it's gonna be Carmella. You know, and you know who I'm talking about, right? That they keep showing this mystery woman.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They never show her face.
Yeah. I think that might be Carmella.
Mm-hmm. But
or I'm even hearing maybe Eve Marie coming back.
Yeah, I've heard she might be coming back too. I haven't heard maybe Tessa Blanchard might even be in the company, secretly in the company maybe too. Because apparently that WWE background game, they showed a silhouette of her in the game. I don't know if it was an error by the person who promoted the game or whatnot. But, I mean, who knows? But, yeah, the big news out of SmackDown is, you know, Sasha Banks officially challenges for the SmackDown title, and then she got attacked by Bayley again 2 weeks in a row. Which finally they finally got that streak going. I mean, not the streak, the rivalry going.
Yeah, finally.
So whenever they face each other, hopefully WrestleMania, you know, that'll be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, it could be as early as Survivor Series.
Shoot, with WWE, it might be SmackDown. This whole playing at SmackDown. Oh, we know.
Yeah.
Shoot,
yeah.
And then have them fight for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I mean, they just rushing all these storylines like Bray versus Wyatt, and Seth and Ray, I mean, this one could have been done better. Like, I mean, it could have been really, really good if they in moderation. But it's just it's overkill. And then Otis, you know, he's getting sued by Miz and Morrison, which he might end up losing the Money in the Bank, which another thing shows you that WWE didn't really come up with a good idea. They just wanted a shock value of having Otis win it. Because storyline-wise, you know, as much as I like Otis as a character, you know, I just don't really realistically see him successfully winning it the way how all these storylines are being told right now. Like, I can't realistically see him lose to Drew McIntyre I can't see him beat Drew McIntyre or Roman Reigns right now.
Yeah, and Otis, he lost his girl to Raw.
Yeah, he got traded because of Miz.
Yeah.
So he's not a happy camper, you know. But yeah, that's. I'm trying to think what else happened on Raw. I mean on SmackDown. Oh, whatchamacallit? Alexa Bliss for the past 2 weeks, she's been doing the Sister Abigail finisher. She's been teasing that she's gonna join the Wyatt family, a newly formed Wyatt family. They've been teasing this for months. You know,
yeah.
That's another thing they poorly executed. When she hit the Sister Abigail on Alexa Bliss last week, that should have just sealed it, and then they should have made her officially join it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they're just making her do it, and it's like getting up to the point like it's like, you know, Ash Ketchum, you know, finally, you know, competing for the Masters tournament, like, you know, being a Pokemon Master, like, this up to a point, like in any TV show, movies, video games, or whatever, if you're rooting for a hero or a heroine, and they lose like at least three times, 0-3 to like their nemesis, after a while you're gonna lose interest in that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that person, you're not gonna believe in them. You're not gonna have blind faith if you see the person loses literally every single time they face their nemesis. You know, after
right.
a point you're gonna be like, nah, they're not gonna win. And then afterwards, 20 plus years later, Ash finally becomes a master. Like, I think last year or 2 years ago, when nobody's watching, including yours truly. I mean, nobody cares anymore. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's ridiculous. Like, you gotta strike while the iron is hot. You know what I mean? You don't want your hero to win all the time. You want your hero to face a nemesis, you know, most likely lose the first time, or at least have a challenge. But if everything's too easy, or they can't win, period, it's like, I mean, there's no point to the battle. There's no point for you to be, you know, invested.
I agree.
Emotionally invested into the character if they're not overcoming something. And that's basically what it is, like, you know. And basically, they need to just turn her heel, just officially turn her heel again. And Nikki Cross, man, that's a championship caliber, you know, wrestler right there. And she's in No Woman's Land too. You know, she did feud with Lacey Evans. But yeah, she could have been a legit contender for the title against Bayley or Asuka. You know what? She should have been the person who takes the title off Asuka. Asuka's not really feuding with anybody when you think about it, even though she's on a different show. Who else is realistically going to take the title off Asuka? She's not really feuding with anybody, really.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
she had a match against Mickie James, which obviously Mickie James is a Hall of Famer. I mean, that is more than a credible challenger, but I just don't see WWE putting the title on her one more time. You know, it's kind of like with the Dudley Boys when they came back. I think what was it 5 years ago? Those are guys that we wanted to see them have the title one more time so they could be 10-time champions. But WWE, they didn't want to give the veteran the gold again. And I think that's what's going to happen with her. You know, they're going to tease she's competing for it, but she's not going to win it. Or even Ric Flair, you know, in his last run, you know, which led up to his career-ending match against Shawn Michaels, he had to go on a winning streak to maintain his career, you know, or at least win the title in order for his career to continue, you know. But obviously it came to an end.
Yeah, I would have Nikki Cross. I would want her as part of the White family.
Yeah,
Yeah,
she fits in more than Alexa Bliss.
Yeah,
absolutely, hands down, for real. But yeah, I don't think there's anything else I could think of that's going on WWE. Yeah, I think I should just shift to what you would call it, to AEW. AEW, Taz, Team Taz, you know, which obviously is, you know, mentored and managed by Taz. You know, he has Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. They formed an alliance with Jake the Snake Roberts and his client, Lance Archer. So they're going to form a short-term alliance so that Lance Archer can defeat John Moxley for the AEW title. And then part of the agreement, Brian Cage would get the number one contendership from that.
Yeah, I forgot all about AEW this past week and NXT.
Yeah, so NXT, I can't really remember anything memorable about NXT for whatever reason. I know, I think what happened. What happened on NXT? I'm really drawing a blank. I think Damian Priest defended his title, his NXT North Division title. It could have been against Thatcher. I honestly can't remember what happened. I mean, obviously, I know Damian Priest retained the title, but I just can't remember anything else. I think Gargano and his wife, Candice LeRae, was, you know, trash talking about Tegan Knox, you know, who used to be Candice LeRae's best friend, and Tegan Knox also hit a promo on them. But yeah, but I can't really think of anything else that really happened on NXT for some reason. But yeah, on AEW, they had the NWA Women's Champion Thunder Rosa battle against Eva Lise, who was a former, I think, NXT wrestler, and she was also in Tough Enough. But yeah, but apparently they got in a real fight midway into their battle. So they were really hitting each other. They wanted to sell each other's moves. They really had like a beef in the match. Wow. I didn't really notice it at first, but apparently that's what people were saying, you know. Because even after the match, Thunder Rosa won the match, but she was like lying on the floor, and the AEW Women's Champion Hikaru Shida came to her aid and, you know, was trying to help her, but I thought it was all storyline purposes.
Yeah.
What else happened? I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, the main event was Santino and Ortiz from Jericho's Inner Circle. They were teaming up with they teamed up against Best Friends, which has it has Beretta and got the other guy's name. They're in Orange Cassidy's group. basically, Santana and Ortiz, they destroyed Beretta's mom's car, and that's basically what the whole suit is about. So basically, they fought in a parking lot, and basically they got revenge. And then afterwards, how they won was Orange Cassidy, you know, interfered in. Well, it was a no disqualification match, but you know, he beat up Santana and Ortiz and helped his best friend, so to speak, win the match. And then at the end of the show, Beretta's mom comes in a pickup van. I guess her pickup van got fixed, or what was left of the car. She picked them up and drove them home. And as she was driving them home, all three of them home, the best friends, all three, you know, best friend members, she stops the car. And in, like, you know how Undertaker, when he walks into the, you know, he turns the ramp, he stops and mm-hmm. does the fist
yeah.
pump.
Yep.
Instead, while she was driving, she stops the car and sticks her middle finger out of the car and then drives away.
That's funny.
So, yeah, that's how AEW finished. That basically it is it. Any last thing you'd like to say?
No. Just come back here. Check out Sports Over Legend every Saturdays at 11. Only on Block Talk Radio.
You got it. Check out my show, Sports Over Legend, every Saturdays at 11. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Over Legend TV. And we will talk to you next week. Same bat channel, same bat station, only on Block Talk Radio. He's McCauley Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.